The Fantasy Edge with Jonathan Chan, Kevin Kuo, Richard Seville.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Week 8 wrap-up and Week 9 preview of the Fantasy Edge. My name is Jonathan Chan, alongside Richard Seville. Kevin Hull's out today, so it'll be just the two of us. Richard, how's it going?
Yeah, really good, Jono. I'm doing a bit of a nail biter in my matchup this week against Kevin.
A shame he's not on here to do the trash talking live.
Well, I don't trash talk too much because it can come back on you. I'm very superstitious that way.
No, so. All the trash talk. You got to take it as best as you can give.
Yeah.
For example, I'm still in first place.
Yeah, okay. Well, no, that's different. That's different because you are in first place currently.
Yep, about to move to 7-1, second highest score of the week. I'm pretty happy.
Am I about 5th, 6th, something like that? I think I'm 5th, if I remember correctly. Anyways, yeah, I'm doing all right, Jono.
All right, that's good. Well, let's get into it. The trade deadline is, today, if you're listening to it on Tuesday at 4 p.m. Three pretty big fantasy-relevant trades have gone through. Richard, why don't you take your pick, and we'll talk about the first one, whichever you want to go with first.
I'll tell you what. I'll go with Emmanuel Sanders to the 49ers. It seems to me that the 49ers want to... they're obviously not satisfied with their receiving core as it stands, which is kind of interesting because they got, some young talent in there, Deebo Samuel, and obviously, I don't know what it is about Dante Pettis. I don't think Shanahan has warmed up to him or whatever, but they felt the need to bring in a veteran presence to the 49ers. He scored a touchdown his first game against I think almost everybody scored a touchdown against the Panthers at that in the game. We'll talk about the game a little bit later, but very interesting. I think Emmanuel Sanders, and it was quite interesting too. I watched a clip from Emmanuel Sanders and his at his press conference, and he sounds like he really likes Shanahan. He says, "This coach is really cool, man." it was a great press conference, and he says, "I couldn't wait to get home to tell my wife about how cool this coach is, man."
Who wouldn't be happy getting moved from the Broncos to the undefeated Niners? That's about as good as you can hope for, really.
Yeah, I guess that a team that's on the rise rather than a team that's not so on the rise.
And you have Flacco. All right, I want to touch on this very briefly. Do you think Flacco's actually hurt, or did the Denver brass bench him for speaking up to the coaches?
You know, I just caught the news about that later, and I didn't put it in the in our list of news because I just happened to catch that. I think they kind of want to move on from Flacco. I don't think Flacco's the guy anymore. I think they've had their fill, but I don't know. This is the whole thing about the offense of the Broncos is just not, it's punch and grind. It's really not, it's not anything exciting. I mean, you've had quarterbacks like Brock Osweiler, who likes to throw, and you've had Peyton Manning, who likes to throw. You've had John Elway. Like, Joe Flacco just doesn't fit that Broncos type quarterback that they're used to having. You can even go through all their quarterbacks, he doesn't really quite fit the, it's almost like I felt like saying the Denver Ravens, because it's exactly what it's like. It's like he's brought the Ravens with him to Denver. So, if the front office has thought, or the coaching staff has thought, that maybe, we can give him a feign injury, a fall injury, and bring in another guy and see, try him out. I think they're ready, but man, a lot of starting quarterbacks going down this year.
Yep. Oh, and for any listeners that weren't sure of the context we're talking about here, after the loss yesterday, Flacco came out and ripped the coaches for playing scared and, being afraid to lose and that kind of stuff. And then this morning came out that Flacco may be placed on IR with an injury, so he won't be playing for a little bit. So that's what that's about.
That's right. I completely forgot about that press conference about him ripping the ripping the staff. I'm glad you mentioned that. I completely forgot about it because I saw that right after the game. It's funny how it slipped my mind. But
yeah, that was extremely suspicious to me when as soon as I saw Flacco, that was just the day after he ripped him. Suddenly he's hurting on IR. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, let's move on. Before we get into the big Kenyon Drake argument, let's go with Mohamed Sanu to the Patriots. He got traded, Sanu from the Falcons to the Patriots for a second round pick. Little high on the price, in my opinion, but that's not what we're here to argue. We're going to talk about his fantasy value. He was low end flex in Atlanta, even with the high powered offense there. Now moving to New England, obviously behind Julian Edelman, and now a suddenly crowded receiver core with Sanu, Philip Dorsett, Jacoby Myers, and Kill Harry, who's eligible to come back next week. Should fantasy owners be picking up Sanu, Richard, as a flyer, as somebody in a good offense?
I don't know. I think he's just a sleeper in a deep league, really. I don't see him anything better than that. I don't think you run out and get Sanu. I think what it really does is it helps us open our eyes to Russell Gage on the Falcons, really. I think we now have somebody else to look at on the Falcons. So that's the only thing I can see with this trade is on the Falcons. I mean, okay, Justin Hardy maybe, but I think this is more interesting of what's going to happen on the Falcons side. But for Sanu, like you say, you've got Dorsett and Edelman there. They're pretty much set in stone as the playmakers, and Sanu's just, I don't know what's going on with Josh Gordon at the moment, but I think that's kind of
I don't think he's not playing for the Patriots. He's IR or he's getting waived. There's no, he's done in a Patriots uniform, which hurts me to say, but that's what that is now.
Yeah. So what do you think of Mohamed Sanu? Are you high on him? Should he be owned, or do you feel like owning him, or?
I'm not super high on him for fantasy purposes, because he's a Patriot. He'll probably have a game or two where, you know, he'll catch a couple short yards, touchdowns, things like that. But it'll be inconsistent. You saw in his first game, obviously, he's still getting acclimated to the, you know, the option route offense with Brady and all that. But five targets, two catches, 23 yards. Nothing to get super excited about. But like I said, he probably will have a big game or two. But it'll be inconsistent because Edelman is the option 1A and 1B in that offense.
Yeah. But I really like Dorsett, you know.
Dorsett is looking very good. And so at least his potential is coming out after the Colts made him look like he was a complete bust.
Yeah. Edelman looked a little bit better in the last game. But Edelman's, I don't know, every week I wonder how much his chest is bothering him. I don't know. He seems to be playing through it okay. So I don't even know why he keeps, every week he's on the questionable list. But
yeah, it's a Patriots thing. Belichick just makes everybody questionable.
Oh, I wanted to tell you, you know, speaking of Belichick, I came across something that he used to trick against the Jets. I forget what it was. It was something like he took a timeout, like with about 5 minutes. I think it was about 5 minutes left in the game. The Patriots were already up 33-0. And what they did was that they had the punt team out there. And it was in that area where punting, you know, if you punt, you got to be pretty accurate. You don't want the punt to go into the end zone. So what the Patriots did is that they took a delay of game, but the Jets refused it.
That was a great TV moment, just because we got Belichick smiling on camera. Yeah. That was a excellent moment.
So
there.
He used
a little gamesmanship,
so
but
it's a loophole in the rules. Because then the Jets, they refuse the penalty, so the clock keeps ticking. So the Patriots are able to run off more clock. Of course, it didn't, probably made the Jets happy in the end anyway, because, you know, they're getting blown out 33-0. But so then the next one, they can't take two in a row. So what they did was that the Patriots purposely did a false start before the punt. So they knock off another 40 seconds off. So Bill Belichick, you know, he's figured out a way to use up clock. So
perfect gamesmanship right there. It doesn't hurt anybody. You're not like embarrassing them by like
it embarrasses the league. The rules committee will have they're gonna fix that one.
Yep, Brady suspended 4 games. That's how that'll go.
So anyways.
All right. Let's move on to the final trade here. This happened this morning. Dolphins, Cardinals, Kenyon Drake to Arizona for conditional 2020 pick. We talked about this a little bit this morning, but Kenyon Drake, it looks like he's going to get the majority of the workload now on Thursday night against the Niners, which, in my opinion, he's unplayable against that defense on his first game on a short practice week with a new team. But moving forward, Chase Edmonds looks like he's going to miss a few weeks with a hamstring injury. David Johnson is still iffy for the weeks after. Can you realistically play Kenyon Drake as a consistent option, seeing as
I think you
know how the Dolphins have just refused to use him over the last few years?
On the Cardinals, well, this is the weird thing about the Cardinals. They brought in Zach Zenner and Alfred Morris, and this was even before Chase Edmonds got hurt. So I'm kind of wondering about what's really happening with David Johnson. I think we're going to, even though the Cardinals don't seem to want to play a committee as such, you know, they like to have a main running back. This is really a wait and see. I think owners of Kenyon Drake are better off with him on the Cardinals, of course, because Kenyon Drake on Miami, you know, game script, right, is obviously always going to be negative almost most of the time, right? So with the Cardinals, there's a little bit more positive game script. And, okay, he's probably going to be out there on Thursday. And like you say, it's not a great matchup, but be good to see how he can run with this is probably the best football team that he's had since he started, right? Because he's been with Miami since day one. So it's a wait and see thing, but I like his chances because he's a pass catching back as well. So we'll see how he is going forward. But I don't know. I'm wondering if a committee is coming up, or because I can see Zach Zenner being in there. I know Alfred Morris was inactive in the last game, so
Zach Zenner. Oh boy.
Yeah, they had to rely on Zach Zenner. He was the only one dressed after Chase Edmonds got hurt.
I think that's part of it as well, because it doesn't seem like they gave up a very high pick for Drake. So I think this is just Miami getting all the assets they could for somebody that they just don't feel like using anymore.
Right.
But yeah, like you said, if Johnson and Edmonds can't dress, sure, Drake is definitely worth a look against the Bucks, but not Thursday. I refuse to play anybody against that Niners defense now. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous how bad they make other QBs and other running backs look. It's actually cool, really cool to watch Nick Bosa. He's really, really good.
Yeah, he is really good. And he's probably, I think he's even probably better than Joey.
He can stay on the field. He's consistently healthy.
He is. Well, there's one more. There's just one more thing I should mention is.
Sorry, Richard.
Just one more thing about that the Dolphins Cardinals trade is the Mark Walton. It looked like Kalen Ballage was getting a lot of touches in that game, so I'm not sure if Mark Walton is going. You know, I don't really think he's a must own. He's an RB3-4. Best, really?
He's a flex. I mean, he got today, he has 10 carries and 3 targets, which realistically, that's not bad usage for Miami back. No. Balazs has 3 carries and a target. So Walton's the guy, and Pittsburgh's defense has looked pretty decent. So not terrible. I mean, outside those first two drives where Fitzpatrick looked like Fitzmagic again, but
yeah, he was throwing punts. Mostly throwing it deep because on third and long, well, I might as well throw it deep. If it's intercepted, it's like a punt. That was basically the idea.
But yeah, Walton looks like the guy. Not super, super must own, but if you need a running back, he's a starter, at least. There's that, so.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to our game reviews here. Start with the Thursday nighter. Washington in Minnesota, 19-9 for the Vikings. Dalvin Cook and Alex Mattison looking like the... Well, arguably the best 1-2 punch at running back in the league. I guess the big takeaway from Washington is Dwayne Haskins looks terrible. Oh. And he ruined Terry McLaurin's day.
He did.
Boy, McLaurin is having a great first half, running good routes. Keenum was finding him. And then Haskins comes in and ruins everything. He looks inaccurate. He couldn't get rid of the ball. And Walton just fumbled. And the one time he did target McLaurin, he overshot him by about 6 feet and threw an interception. It was a brutal showing and, yeah, awful.
Yeah, I think one of the things about, is you know, Keenum getting hurt and, you know, really what... I don't know what other choices. They can go to Colt McCoy, but there's really not much difference. I don't think Haskins is going to be ready. I don't see him as a, you know, you don't see rookies this bad out the gate. I mean, I was looking up how Haskins was so bad. I was actually doing comparisons to see, who was worse, Peterman or Haskins. I actually looked that up because I wanted to, and it turns out that, Peterman's actually a little bit better, but not overall. There needs to be a little bit more, there needs to be a little bit more stats in order to make a full judgment, but Haskins is not off to a good start in the NFL. That's sad to say.
Definitely not. I guess on the Viking side, other than the running backs, Cousins only threw three incomplete passes in 26 attempts, and without Thielen, Stephon Diggs is a bona fide wide receiver one.
Yeah, it's a funny turnaround because I think people are kind of hoping for this for, I see we got the turnaround for Stephon Diggs. I don't see a turnaround coming for guys like Corey Davis or Odell Beckham Jr. It just doesn't seem to be there for other players to make a turnaround. It's really looking bad. I mean, I thought after Corey Davis, after the week before, I thought, and then I don't know. Tannehill wasn't finding him.
Yeah, it was a weird game for Tannehill. I mean, he didn't. I think he had under 100 yards passing in the first half, but two touchdowns. And then, he had two touchdowns on the first couple of drives, I think, because I had him in one of my leagues. I started him after Mahomes got hurt. I think he had like 30 yards and two touchdowns after the first quarter. And I was like, ah, crap, this is a bad play. But picked it up in the second half. But you're right. Corey Davis, awful game. AJ Brown had his day saved by a touchdown, an 8-yarder. Before that, he had one catch for 3 yards. Not a great day for the Titans pass catchers, but Tannehill's still better than Mariota was. All right, moving on here. Let's go to Seattle and Atlanta. Let's usher in the Matt Schaub era. 460 yards passing. Just awesome. Love to see Matt Schaub doing that.
Didn't see that coming. I didn't see it coming. I was actually telling people that Seattle is a great sleeper defense because Matt Schaub was starting. I feel a little embarrassed about that now.
Well, I mean, they got the one pick. Devonta Freeman fumbled, so it wasn't awful. They got a couple takeaways, but
I know, yeah. But talk about unleash the beast or what? I mean,
who needs Matt Ryan?
Yep. Yeah, it just, I don't know. All these, got a lot of Matts on the team. Keep getting Matt Bryant, the kicker, Matt Schaub. They like their Matts. But anyway, not a great game for Russell Wilson. He got a couple of touchdowns, but he didn't throw a lot.
He didn't need to. No. The Falcons are bad.
Yeah, it was all Chris Carson. Tyler Lockett's definitely for real.
Yes, definitely. He always has been. It's just a matter of, can he make the one big play, right?
Yeah, but the thing is that he's just not, Kevin complains that, you know, if you take away the one big play, he always has that one big play, but I don't know, every player has one big play in a game, but it just seems like he doesn't get enough targets in order to, I don't know, he's getting them. Even though Metcalf didn't get a lot of yardage, I mean, he's still one of Russell Wilson's favorite end zone shots. So, definitely worth owning.
Big body red zone threat for sure.
Yeah.
All right, moving on from there. Let's go to the probably one of the most boring games of the week. Denver, Indianapolis. Talked a little bit about Flacco earlier. Wasn't a whole lot of offense here. Marlon Mack really had the only game worth talking about, 76 yards and a touchdown. I mean, Jacoby Brissett struggled for the first time this year. No touchdown, so he couldn't put himself into the touchdown lead. But not really much to talk about here.
No, it just goes to show you, right after I've been talking up Jacoby Brissett, he has a bit of a down game. But no interceptions, but I mean, it was Denver defense. It was, I don't know, Indianapolis were very slow out the gate.
They won the game. I'm sure that's all Brissett cares about. All right, Philadelphia, Buffalo. I think this is the Buffalo defense's worst performance of the year, probably 31 points to the Eagles, who had previously been struggling. Carson Wentz actually didn't have a great game, only had 172 yards, one touchdown. But, you know, Jordan Howard had a great game, 96 yards and a touchdown.
sat him. In our league, I sat him.
That's fair. The Buffalo defense, you know, they're very, very good.
Yeah.
But that's a fair move.
But I should have known because it was a very windy and rainy game. So
a lot of the games this weekend were.
Yeah, especially the Patriots game was quite rainy.
Yeah. But I guess the main takeaway here for me is if Josh Allen was unable to, he only threw for 169 yards on 34 attempts. If he's unable to take advantage of a secondary as poor as the Eagles, is he really fantasy trustworthy in other matchups that aren't supposedly cakewalks?
You know, that's a good question because it just hasn't been, it just doesn't seem to matter what the matchup is, does it?
I think with Allen, the only full game of Josh Allen, for the record, that I've seen is the one against the Patriots, and he looked brutal. He threw three picks before getting knocked out of the game with the injury, and I don't know, it's just he's struggling with pressure this year. I think teams have kind of caught up to that. And the key to stopping him is to make sure he can't use his legs.
Yeah.
Force him, keep him in the pocket, put pressure on him, and he tends to just throw wildly, which is, I guess, what the knock on him coming out of the college was. But as long as you can keep it contained, which the book is out now, it seems it's trouble for him to have to adjust so far.
But in this game, he was the top rusher. 8 carries for 45 for the Bills. Yep. He was a top rusher.
That's what you're hoping for with him, right? If he's only throwing for 169 yards against the Eagles defense, then he needs those rushing yards.
Yeah, I think he's at the front of the trailing pack behind Lamar Jackson, who's way ahead of all the other quarterbacks in rushing.
I think his back-to-back 100-yard games would put him in first anyways, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, enough of the Bills. onto the Chargers and Bears. Well, Matt Nagy finally started running the ball. And look at that, David Montgomery had an amazing game. 135 yards on touchdown. Granted, it is against the mess that is the Los Angeles Chargers. But do you think they're going to continue this? Or is Trubisky going to have to throw 50 passes next time they get in trouble?
I think they... Matt Nagy said that they wanted to run the ball more, and I think this is the breakout game finally that people have been waiting for David Montgomery. I had him as a buy low candidate. Fantasy Pros asked me to write a column for them, and I had him as a buy low candidate around the time of the London game, and I thought people should be picking him up. Now, he didn't have a good game last week, but I do think that Montgomery is the guy to own, and but he's not buy low anymore because he's had the breakout game. I think this is the league winner that people have been waiting for. I think they're going to still continue to use David Montgomery. He's definitely a good guy. If you manage to take my column to heart at Fantasy Pros, then you got it right. Finally came through. But but everyone was kind of talking him up as a league winner. So I think they continue to feed him the ball now that they can see him what he can do. 27 carries though. I'm not sure if they want to give him that many, but he's going to have
that was a lot. Yeah,
he's going to have to get, but he is going to, for him to be effective, he's going to have to get around 20 plus carries per game.
Sucks for me. I traded him away, and I think in week three, week four for Kerryon Johnson. At the time, it was a pretty fair trade. Now it's not. I'm stuck with Ty Johnson. All right. Actually, that's a good segue to that game. Let's go to the Lions Giants. So I guess after a week of hype on Ty Johnson as being, you know, the new Lions running back, people blowing their auction money on him. I wasn't expecting, you know, the world from a backup running back, but I was expecting 15 carries, 12 to 15 carries. I think he had 10. He did not lead in carries. Carson, undrafted free agent,
yeah,
had more carries.
I know. The Packers put him out on waivers after when Jamal Williams, he was in there for Jamal Williams. So he's played for two teams like already this year.
Yeah.
And so 12 carries, you know, and actually I thought it was going to be clever and have JD McKissick because I thought, aha, JD McKissick is the guy to own. No, it's a big old crappy, and Paul Perkins is probably going to come in there at some point too. So I think
it's a four back committee.
I know. That's what it is. And,
I wouldn't drop him. I think I mentioned this in a group during the week, but he had about 20 yards called back on holds, and then Stafford missed him on a wide open touchdown.
Yeah.
So if that happens, people are saying, "Oh yeah, look at that! I spent my, you know, it was great pickup by me." But Gave him inches, right?
Yeah.
But he did lead the Detroit backs in snaps. So I think if you bought him, obviously you're not going to drop him if you spent money on him. So hold him for another week and see what happens. But disappointing for sure.
I know Barkley got the lion's share of the receptions in that game, but I think Darius Slayton should be owned.
Darius Slayton's a good player.
He should be owned because the Daniel Jones is trying to find him a lot.
And Daniel Jones had the best game of his career since week one.
Yeah, still lost though.
I mean, 322 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Well, it's good. It's good.
Can't blame the guy. That's not Jones's fault.
No.
Okay. Let's back to. Let's talk about the destruction that the Niners put on Carolina. I know we talked about it a little bit at the top, but
over here, okay.
I jumped down to the Lions and Giants because it's a good segue.
Okay.
Niners stay undefeated. Tevin Coleman won people fantasy weeks, 105 yards and 3 touchdowns rushing and another receiving touchdown. Is Matt Breida startable anymore with the way Coleman's just seized the starting job?
Well, Breida got hurt, so I think Tevin Coleman is the own, yes. I think he is the own. Jeff Wilson got hurt, too.
Yeah, and Mostert came in and scored a 40-yard touchdown.
Yeah, I don't really know, but I think Coleman is the number one. I think he was always the sort of like 1A there.
Yeah.
So I think I'm just looking at the stats for the quarterbacks. Quarterbacks weren't really that great. Garoppolo, you really can't own him, but Christian McCaffrey, obviously, seems to be matchup proof. No matter who he plays, he's still doing it.
Except the Bucs. The Buccaneers is the only game that his yards per carry were.
Yeah.
Really ugly.
And I was kind of expecting that for this McCaffrey. I was kind of expecting, oh, this is going to be kind of like the Bucs. They've seen the 49ers have seen the film, you know, usual thing. You know, sometimes a team can see the film, but they can't do anything about it. But obviously the 49ers, that was something that, the only thing that the Panthers could exploit. But I don't know, the rest of it, Kyle Allen, apparently, I think they'll probably try to get Cam back in for next week.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. If Cam plays next week, is he a must-add? Obviously, it's former MVP Cam Newton, but...
Yeah, I'm not sure who they play, but...
If Cam comes back, I think after the game that Kyle Allen had, three picks, no touchdowns, I think this was the kind of game that maybe the Panthers brass was hoping for, so they can get a nice transition back into Cam without too much controversy.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see how that works out. Okay, next game here, let's move on to... Jets and Jaguars. Speaking of quarterback controversies, what do the Jaguars do when Nick Foles comes back? Gardner Minshew had another great game, 279 yards, 3 touchdowns, the first 3 touchdown game of his career. Does Nick Foles come back and be the starter right away with all the money they're paying him?
That's a good question. You know, I've been wondering about that myself. I'll be definitely watching the news to see how this shakes out. I actually think what they'll do is that they'll keep Minshew in there. Kind of like how they've kept Kyle Allen in. Now, they didn't do that with Drew Brees. As soon as Drew Brees was ready, they put him right in, right?
No, I mean, it's a Drew Brees, right? It's not Nick Foles.
It's no, Drew Brees. It's Drew Brees. So,
although they do have the same number of Super Bowl wins.
I get that, but you were talking about you're talking about the money here, right? And Drew Brees is the money guy there, right? So, in this case, I think they let Foles relax. The Jacksonville, they're 4-4. I think they can. It's not a throwaway season for the Jacksonville Jaguars by any stretch. But if the Jacksonville feel they want to, I don't know if it's. I don't know. It could be a quarterback controversy. I don't know. What do you think? I'm not sure.
I don't know. I think a lot of the fan base has rallied behind Minshew just because he seems to be a very likable guy. He's played very well without Foles. I think you'd need a reason to take Foles out of there. The Jaguars would need either a really bad game from Minshew or a couple of bad games from him, or, you know, Foles has to come in and perform well for the Jags to come out and say, you know what, yeah, we're going to bench this guy that the whole fan base has rallied behind and just take them out like that. I think it would be a bad look.
Yeah, I don't think Foles is going to be much better than Minshew.
Yeah,
I think he might be, you know, I think there might be a slight... Foles is far better at the deep pass, I think. Minshew can do the same. It's hard to say. It's really hard to say. They're so even. as far as my just kind of evaluating it in my head, it's really hard to say. But because I was wondering about this last week, because I wasn't sure whether I could consider, like, because I had Minshew as our moving on up last week, and I wasn't sure. Like I said, he is moving on up, but Foles is coming back. Other part of this game, though, Le'Veon Bell, another 23 yards for your fantasy team. So, a Le'Veon Bell, the bust I predicted.
I mean, I don't think you can trust really anybody in that Jets offense. I thought maybe that you could kind of work it out with Darnold, because he's got a pretty easy schedule coming up. All the Jets do. Very, very easy. They have Miami twice. They got the Bengals, so it's easy schedule coming up, but hasn't really been anything to hang your hat on here. Darnold threw three picks against the Jags, the Jalen Ramsey-less Jags, so I don't really know what to think.
Yeah.
It's tough.
I don't know about this.
Next game, Cleveland and New England. This was shaping up to be a pretty big blowout early on. The Pats went up 17-0 very, very quickly. Cleveland made it a game, to be give all credit to them. They came back, did not let things get out of hand. Honestly, the biggest takeaway from this game was that awful play when Baker Mayfield pitched it to Lawrence Guy.
Threw it
at Lawrence Guy for the interception. Just incredible.
Design play, too. Design play, and went right into his arms.
Not really sure what was supposed to happen on that play.
I think it was just one of those shovel passes that went. It was supposed to be a shovel pass, and he shoveled it to the. He shoveled it. It's actually Baker's butt fumble. That is a I think that's what they were saying. Is that was Baker Mayfield's butt fumble?
Yeah, brutal play.
Butt fumble moment.
Otherwise, Nick Chubb had a great game, other than the two consecutive fumbles, which is weird to say, but he ran for 131 yards on the Patriots defense. I think the rain contributed a little bit. The slickness of the ball got poked out on two consecutive runs, both of which were decent sized runs, actually. Yeah. One of them was pretty close to the goal line. I think five yards out, something like that, 10 yards out, but good game for him. Edelman, two touchdowns, like we said at the top. He's obviously the number one. And I think something I didn't mention earlier was that the biggest beneficiary of the Sanu trade is Brady. Now he's got another weapon to throw to, and his game here, he didn't have a great game by any means. 259 yards, two touchdowns. But I think that performance, kind of 19 points, is going to be his floor moving forward with all the weapons he's got.
Yeah, I do. I agree. There's one thing I would like to mention, though, too, is that the Cleveland defense, they got to Brady quite a lot. You know, they really did. They sacked. How many? I don't know. The stats aren't on this list here, but Cleveland were able to pressure him. Like you say, and that's how they were managing to stay in the game.
Yep. A lot of that is the. Yeah, all credit to Cleveland. They actually schemed it very well. But the Patriots' offensive line is brutal right now. Marshall Newhouse is the left tackle. He allowed two sacks and like three or four pressures. It was brutal. He's not a good lineman. Isaiah Wynn comes back in 2 or 3 weeks, so that should improve things on Brady's end if you're looking for a playoff QB. Bengals, Rams. Joe Mixon actually looked like a running back this game, shocking everybody. I'm still mad at that guy. Cooper Kupp, incredible, 220 yards on 7 catches. Just incredible. And now Brandon Cooks has his second concussion of the season, fourth of his career. If Sterling Shepard's any indication, Cooks might be out for 2 or 3 weeks while he gets his head right. And is Josh Reynolds a pickup after the Rams have their bye this week?
No. I don't trust anybody outside of Cooper Kupp. I just don't think I really think there's better sleepers that you can pick up. I think it's actually the guy who benefits as Woods, but from what we've seen of Cooks this year, what is Reynolds? He's kind of like the rental car that you're going to have while the other one's getting fixed. So,
man, that sounds really, really mean to the guy.
Who, to Josh Reynolds? Well, it is true. I mean, it's the rental car that it's the loaner car while your car's in the shop. So, you know,
it's true. But it does. It can get you through a game or two, maybe, depending if Cooks wants to not get concussed again. Because 3 weeks now since his last one? Not great.
No.
Not healthy.
You know something? I have a funny take on London games. I always find that London games just don't are notoriously for not following the script. But they did follow the script with it when it came to Cooper Kupp, but everything else was just, you know, not great. And I noticed that Todd Gurley isn't on the list here for rushing yardage. I'm sure, I don't know what his stats were.
He had about 40 yards. He had the touchdown. He was out-touched by Daryl Henderson, but Gurley scored the touchdown. So
right.
He maintained his value there.
Oh, okay. All right.
But he's in like full-time share stuff now. Like he's not Todd Gurley that we know.
No.
All right. Next game, Raiders and Texans. This was a really exciting game. Deshaun Watson did some cool things. 3 touchdowns. Darren Fells. I have some stats on this. Darren Fells is now tight end 5 on the season.
Yeah.
Tight end 6. He's got 5 touchdowns, which is tied for the league lead with Austin Hooper.
Yeah. He's got to be owned. That's all there is to it. I mean, he's getting the targets. For how valuable tight ends are for, especially, that's all you really want. If your tight end can score a touchdown every game now and again, then fine. But, Fells is obviously a main target. I was a little bit disappointed about DeAndre Hopkins in this game. I actually thought DeAndre Hopkins would have a blow up game, you know, touchdown after touchdown, Will Fuller being out. I didn't think that Stills would be, and Stills wasn't. I think you still got to own Stills. Stills didn't have a heavily targeted game, but I thought this was going to be a really huge game for, Deshaun Watson. And, Deshaun Watson got 3 touchdowns, yes, but I thought he'd find his butt, Nuke, and he didn't. Still got 109 yards, you know, but he's really starving for some touchdowns this year. Really needs them.
Yeah. Like you said, 109 yards, nothing to scoff at, but I think a lot of people were expecting like a Cooper Kupp kind of game, 220 yards and a touchdown, especially against the Raiders.
Yep.
And their last ranked defense, according to Pro Football Focus grades. Thanks to them for that. Otherwise, Tyrell Williams is still the greatest red zone target in the history of football. Touchdown every game in his Raiders career.
Yep.
All right, moving on let's go to the Sunday night game, because that was a fun game too.
It
must have been fun
amazing.
For you seeing Aaron Rodgers make miraculous pass after miraculous pass. Just falling down, looks like he's throwing it away, especially the one to the back of the end zone to Jamal Williams.
Yes. Well, and Aaron Jones, lighting it up. Aaron Jones turned out to be the number one running back in fantasy half PPR. More surprising, Matt Moore. Go, dude. Go, go, go. He's kept the team in the game.
Is Patrick Mahomes a system QB? Where's Kevin? This is the conversation.
Is Patrick Mahomes a system? I don't think you can make that argument too quickly, but I was very pleased with Matt Moore. Matt Moore is a very, been in the league hasn't been in the league, but I mean, he's been around the game. He got called up by Andy Reid to be in this game. And, he's kind of like a camp arm quarterback nowadays. Like if he does get hired, he's kind of like the camp arm. So he's a kind of a coaching type of quarterback. So it's kind of weird seeing him in there and yet doing so well. So his students can take note because I think he was coaching at a high school or something, you know? So
yeah, no kidding. I mean, he played well. Can't really say anything else. He played well.
I don't know.
276 yards.
Yeah, I don't know if
Travis Kelce finally caught another touchdown. Would have had 2 if he didn't drop the second one.
And nice to see Sammy Watkins getting a little more involved. Didn't get a lot of yards, but he was heavily involved. Yeah, McCoy. Yeah, not so great. Don't know what's going to happen with that backfield now.
It's going to be like this the entire time. Nobody's going to have really real blow-up games. I think Damian Williams, if you own him, I own him in a couple leagues. I haven't dropped him yet because of games like this. He gets some rushes, and he's still at a pretty good aerial threat as a running back. So if you need a blow-up game and you're desperate, Damien Williams isn't the worst, especially if Moore's going to be checking it down, which is the right play with these running backs.
Yep.
Although there was a play that Darwin Thompson got absolutely blown up on a screen pass and it did not look good.
Oh, right. Yeah, he's been playing us. I've noticed that he's been doing special teams mostly.
Yep. All right. On to Arizona, New Orleans. The return of Drew Brees came back and was typical Drew Brees. 370 yards, 3 touchdowns. Taysom Hill had a touchdown. Still doesn't qualify at any position that's not QB. So yeah. Fantasy sites, get on your stuff. Come on. He's not just a QB.
Surprised me. I was a little unsure about whether Drew Brees would be just doing short passes and not, you know, really maybe didn't have the grip for anything. You see, you just don't know with this because you saw the hand, a little hand brace that he had on there. You kind of wonder how much that was going to affect him. Didn't affect him at all. He's ready to go. Kudos to Teddy Bridgewater. Actually, I have to, you know, I think everybody has to give him a little bit of a standing ovation for what he did in place of Drew Brees. He was undefeated throughout that whole time, kept the Saints in the playoff hunt, and in fact, they're still in the hunt for the top seed, and just amazing job by Teddy Bridgewater. Kudos to him. But Drew Brees, great job coming back.
Yep, I think the Saints have the best backup tandem in the league. Latavius Murray, once again, absolutely destroying it, filling in for Alvin Kamara. Just, man, saving my season in the F6P league. Whew.
Yeah, and Chase Edmonds left the game.
Yep.
As we talked about,
Kenyon Drake is the new starting running back.
Yes.
For Thursday, anyways.
We'll have to see how that works out. Yeah, everything's back to normal. Alvin Kamara will come back, we hope, soon.
Yep. Oh, and on the Arizona side, outside of the running backs, Christian Kirk came back and was once again Kyler Murray's favorite target. 8 catches in his return game, 79 yards. Highest targeted receiver. If you're in any kind of PPR league, Christian Kirk is a must own. He's going to be heavily targeted in the air raid offense.
Yeah, you know what? I have I have Larry Fitzgerald as a as my buy low candidate this week. Fantasy pros, they keep asking me this question. So I chose Larry Fitzgerald because I'll tell you why. I do think that Larry Fitzgerald, he'll be able, because they've got 2 dates with the San Francisco 49ers coming up, one of them of which is, of course, this Thursday. And they'll have another game, and then the game after that, they'll have the 49ers again. So I actually think those type of games, I think those are games where Kyler Murray will depend on Old Faithful to get him through.
Yeah, hopefully. Games against the Niners are never a good bet for any fantasy player this season. But if there's going to be a game that Kyler needs to lean on Fitzgerald, it's going to be those.
But 2 of their next 4 games is against them, so not good, not fun.
Not at all. All right, moving on to our final game of the week, right? It's our final game of the week this time?
Yep.
The Bucks at Titans. We touched on this already a bunch with other players, talking about Corey Davis and A.J. Brown. But Jonnu Smith is honestly, other than, you know, Mike Evans doing Mike Evans blow up things, Jonnu Smith is one of my takeaways from this game. Without Delanie Walker, 6 catches, 78 yards, a touchdown. He's caught, I think, about 146 yards over the last couple games with the touchdown. Looks like one of Tannehill's favorite targets, without Delanie Walker in there, and top tight end pickup for this week for sure.
You know what? I got to be more of a believer in guys like Jonnu Smith, and if I'm a believer in Eric Ebron, why can't I be a believer in Jonnu Smith? Why? I don't know why. It's just because of the past, I always feel like, okay, yeah, 6 catches, 78 yards on the touchdown, but, you know, but the question is where was Corey Davis? Corey Davis gone again? Was here for 1 week. I thought, okay, looks like he's turning it around, and then, shoo, boom, down it goes. I really don't understand it. And also, the Titans defense was a good one to start because, Winston was throwing interceptions, and he still ended up with, you know, half decent stat when he got 2 touchdowns, but Jameis Winston, man. How do you start that guy? How do you start Jameis Winston?
But he can win you games as badly, like as much as he can lose them for you. There's nobody else that you can realistically find around the NFL that I would say, hey, this guy's going to win me more games than Jameis Winston, because Jameis will win them, but he'll also lose them. So
used his legs. Used his legs for once. He got 53 yards. He never does that. Never does that. 53 yards. Maybe you should do that a little more often.
Stopped him from throwing picks, whatever it takes.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, let's.
Oh, we got a final in the. We've got a final here. Pittsburgh 27, Miami 14.
I was so ready for Miami to win this game. They went up 14-0. I was so ready for Miami to win this game.
And now I have to look at over here to see. I was sort of distracted earlier when we were doing the game score, because I've got, and now I have to know that that's gone final. And it turns out, yes, I have beaten Kevin. Hey, Kev, I won by a point. I win by a point.
Oh, I'm going to go look at this matchup now.
I beat Kevin by a point.
0.9 points, actually.
Yeah,
Less than a point, you beat him.
Yeah, you see, and I even gave him a chance by starting D.D. Westbrook, who had to leave the game. Well, that's something that we didn't talk about, too, is D.D. Westbrook. Not sure what's going to be happening with him, but he got hurt.
It was that Mark Walton fumble with 3 minutes left in the game. Walton fumbled on a 11-yard reception. Lost Kevin the game.
Oh, well, there you go. You see, and I started J.D. McKissick. I even gave him a chance by starting J.D. McKissick. You see, I could have started Jordan Howard or even, I could have started Deontay Johnson. That would have been classy. That would have been a classy start. I should have started Deontay Johnson anyway. This is against Miami.
Yeah, I'm not sure what your McKissick over Johnson choice was, but hey, you have Deontay Johnson now, so that's all that matters.
Yeah, I was just trying to be cute. That's why with the J.D. McKissick.
Yeah.
That's why I lose in fantasy, because I always do these. I do these crazy things, you know, like I try to be a big shot, you know.
Yes, but getting those big shot moves, it's worth it when they work. It's worth it.
I know, but it's also it angers your opponents too when you win like that. But I got a win on the board. Hopefully, stat corrections happen, but not that often.
I don't know. Well, they could, but. Anyways, let's move on to our segments, our weekly segments. Let's start with the panic button. Richard, who you got?
Panic button. Time to panic on DJ Moore of the Panthers. Not too going too good for the DJ Moore. If I said, hey, Jono, I want to offer you DJ Moore, would you kind of think, would you be saying, oh, yeah? Or would you say, who for?
I mean, I think about it. I like DJ Moore as a player. I mean, I think about it. I wouldn't pay too much for him, but I'd consider it.
Okay, half PPR. He's had one touchdown all year. He's had 44 yards. He's gotten, the last three games, 8, 10, and 9 targets. 91 yards, no touchdowns. 73 yards, one. And
The targets are there. That's what you want.
The targets are there. But this is with this. Remember, this is with Kyler Murray, remember. Okay.
But Kyle Allen.
Kyle Allen. And
DJ Moore with Kyler Murray would be amazing. I'd love that pairing.
Yeah, but Tennessee next, then at Green Bay.
Oh, I'd take him. He's super consistent in half PPR. Just looking at the points here, 9, 13, 12, 6, 12, 12. I'd take that for sure. And this last game against the Niners, he still had six half PPR points. I'll take it. He's like the James White of receivers. No ceiling, all floor.
I still think he's WR3 material.
Yes, but again, no ceiling, all floor. That's what you want in a wide receiver.
But he was supposed to be high WR2.
No, that was a reach. No. Not in Carolina. Carolina receivers haven't done that since Steve Smith.
That's true.
Or that one year of Kelvin Benjamin.
Kelvin Bumjumin.
I like that one. My panic button is Cortland Sutton. He hasn't done anything wrong to make me panic on him. But if Joe Flacco's hurt, the next QB up is Brandon Allen, 6th-round pick out of Arkansas. I don't really know anything about him other than that. He doesn't really have a game log to go off of. I don't think he's made a start. I don't think he's played in the league. I don't think Cortland Sutton can. I don't know if he's good elite enough. I'm going to use elite in a Joe Flacco analysis here. Elite enough to overcome Brandon Allen as his QB. And if I was an owner, I'd be extremely worried about my. About my wide receiver.
I will, but I'll play devil's advocate just like you did, because without Emmanuel Sanders, that's got to help him a little bit, you would think, would it not?
It all depends on how Brandon Allen is. I've never seen the guy play.
No.
He could be Tom Brady for all I know. Well, he's not, but he could be another, you know, late round sleeper. He could be a good player, but if I'm relying on with a new QB, that's risky.
I would say so high for sure if you can.
Yep.
I would say so high. Yeah. Sure. I'm okay with that. Definitely.
Yep. Who's your second panic, Richard?
My second panic, Zach Ertz. What's going on? You're not getting the value for what you drafted him at. at all. You are not. You're not getting the value from Zach Ertz. This is half PPR for the last four games. He's had one touchdown all year. That was against the Jets. And he had three fantasy points. I really don't know when Zach Ertz, I'd feel much happier owning Dallas Goedert at the moment than I would Zach Ertz. You're not getting, I think he was drafted at ADP number two, tight end. You're not getting that value. You certainly are not. You are not.
Nope. And Dallas Goedert caught another touchdown, so he's got two in his last two games. And Zach Ertz has been kind of brutal, actually.
Yeah, very brutal. I think if you could try to move on from Zach Ertz, you do well. I'd rather own Goddard. I mean, I'd rather stream Goddard. Own and stream, sort of interchangeable there. But yeah, he's my other guy, definitely.
Yep, and my other panic is Le'Veon Bell. In a game where Sam Darnold is struggling against an okay defense, the Jags aren't what they were. They're still okay. Bell got 9 carries and 5 targets. He finished with a total of 35 yards on 14 touches. The offensive line is brutal. The Jets offense looks bad. If Darnold can improve over the next cake schedule, sure. But there's not much in this offense I'm seeing hope for. Bell, he's making the most of it with his patient running style. But boy, he looked... he didn't look awful. The Jets look awful, and it's awful for him.
It is. It's bad. And now he's getting boxed in because Darnold can't seem to break out of the ghost thing.
Yep.
He keeps seeing ghosts, which I still don't get that. What does it mean? What does that mean, Jono? What does the ghost thing mean?
So he's seeing and feeling defenders around him that aren't there. So the Patriots kind of, they scared him so that even if there's no pressure on him, he's feeling pressure and making rush decisions. So he's seeing ghosts like they aren't really there.
Right. No.
But that is.
But I really don't like the criticism about the guy because it made for really good controversy. And even guys who've been playing for football for a long time, I think even Favre commented on it. And it was so interesting because, there's these phantom defenders that are chasing you. And also not only that, actually, I think he was seeing ghosts downfield in the game against the Patriots because he was just throwing the ball to no one in particular, not even to Patriots. It was like, there's nobody there. Maybe the ghosts are downfield everywhere. But anyways, Le'Veon Bell, yes. He's going to get boxed in. He's he's got Miami coming up in Miami, which is not bad. He might get a bit of an uptick there. Then there's the Giants at home. Well, they're always at home when they're playing the Giants. And then Washington, Oakland. So he might be able to turn it around. I would buy low. I wouldn't try to move him on, but I would try to buy low on him, maybe.
That's a fair assessment. Running backs and bad offenses are tough, especially the ones that are supposed to be elite and you're going to have to pay, an RB1 price for. It's a tough bet for me and one that I don't know if I would make. That's where I'm coming from.
Yeah, but so I'm just playing a little bit of devil's advocate there for the sake of argument.
Yeah, for sure. Who's moving up?
Moving on up, Allen Robinson. Bears doing great. He's making some great catches. Mr. Trubisky is so awful, but Allen Robinson is making him look good. Allen Robinson, yes, he only had, 9 fantasy points this game, but he's been putting up some pretty good numbers lately. He's had, 3 touchdowns in the last 3 games, 2 against Oakland, but of course there's the bye week in there. But I'm quite liking him. I think he's getting the good targets. He's getting the good catches. And he's got Philadelphia, Detroit, and the Rams coming up. And the Giants and Detroit again. So he's got a pretty good lineup of games coming up. So Allen Robinson, he's a guy. If you can make a trade for Allen Robinson, he's got a good stretch coming up. He's got a good stretch of games. So very worthwhile. And if Trubisky gets his act together a little bit more, I mean, he's kind of looking a little better. But
not hard to look better after last week.
No, but Allen Robinson, I really think Allen Robinson is a good wide receiver to own on your fantasy team. I don't know how you feel about it, but that's how I
feel. I'm okay with Allen Robinson. I don't like Trubisky, but he likes Robinson. And as you said, Robinson's making Trubisky look better than he actually is. I'm okay with him for sure. My first one is Derek Carr. Not the sexiest pick for a quarterback. I know he gets a lot of flack around here, but he's coming off his best game of the season. 285 yards, 3 touchdowns against the Texans. He's got both his weapons, Tyrell Williams and Darren Waller. They're both good red zone options. They've both helped him out a lot. And he's got good matchups coming up. He's got the Lions, he's got the Chargers, he's got the Bengals. They're all in the top 10, allowing fantasy points to quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you have people on bye, if you are a Patrick Mahomes owner, I think Derek Carr is a solid streamer for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah. Again, I'll take for the sake of argument. He has not had a 300-yard game yet this season.
Yep, he does get a lot of flack for that, but
but he is good at the touchdowns, and like you say, he does have a good lineup. So not too much argument for that. No, he's definitely a worthwhile streamer for the next 3 games if you're not in a 2 quarterback league or flex super flex.
Yep. And sticking with the Bears here, who is your second moving up?
Yeah, I'm sticking with Bears. More Bears, Bears, not Bears. Yeah, the Bears. David Montgomery, we mentioned him already. Definitely moving on up. I mentioned him as a buy low candidate around the London game. You should have done the buy low at the London game, people. I put it out there. So now he's turning it around. Now he's going to start paying off for you. Bingo.
Yep, and my second moving on up. Oh, I completely blanked on him. Darius Geis, the Redskins, put on IR early with the knee injury. The Redskins obviously want to run the ball a lot. They're giving old man Peterson a ton of carries. When Geis comes back, I think he's going to get featured. Mm-hmm. And he'll be back soon. If you have an IR spot on your team, if you have a bench spot that you want to hold, I think Geis is a good option.
Yeah, you know, he's a guy I wasn't thinking about. And boy, Adrian Peterson, Jono, he's not really doing that great. So Geis is, if he can stay healthy.
He looked good against
the
Vikings, though. I think he had a small revenge game.
A little bit.
14 carries. Little revenge game for Peterson.
I know, but that's sort of an exception to the rule. Granted, it was a deluge against the 49ers. I get all that. And it's, nobody had a good fantasy game with that. But I don't know. I think the tread is a bit worn. And
it is. And Callahan likes to run. I think it's going to be Geis when he comes back, but which is why he's moving it up for me.
Yeah, no, completely. No, I can't even argue that one. That is, he must stay healthy this time. And there's one thing about guys who come off of IR and stuff. They're kind of a little bit, it's a mental thing about not wanting to get injured. And rather than the idea is there's two things in football. There's protecting the ball and there's protecting your body. And I think there's kind of like a psychological thing where I don't want to get hurt, but I got to protect the ball or protect your body. Sometimes there's a choice there you got to make in a split second.
So. Yeah, but I'm sure he'll come back, and he's better. I don't want to say better for it, but I'm sure he'll come back in a good place mentally, hopefully.
I hope so too.
All right, final thoughts for the week. Looking ahead to week 9, Richard, who? What are your games of the week? Or your game of the week?
My game of the week. Well, I guess it would be. I already mentioned I'm gonna have to get up the list and see what game. If my computer's just decided to freeze up here.
All right, I can go first while you look that up. Game of the week for me. I'm going Patriots Ravens. I know, coming from the Pats fan, but I want to see how Lamar Jackson does against the Patriots defense. I'm very, very curious to see what kind of schemes that Belichick comes up to stop the run from Jackson, stop Mark Ingram, and the deep passes that obviously Jackson is good at. Be very interesting to see. Yeah, I think it's gonna be a closer game than a lot of people are thinking.
Oh, you and Kevin. You know, yep. Kevin, it'll be something to talk about next week. How about Minnesota at Kansas City?
I like that one.
That's a good game. Looking forward to that. Mahomes should be back for that one. Isn't it amazing how quickly these quarterbacks can
next
come
week,
back?
I don't see Mahomes coming back next week. That would be very irresponsible of the Chiefs to bring him back for next week.
They got to get back in the race, man. They just lost to the Packers, and they were kind of lucky that Oakland didn't win. So.
Anyway. They're still leading the division. They can't because they're the Raiders and Chargers. They're not catching them. Like, they can finish tied with those two, and as soon as Mahomes comes back, they'll be fine. You can't risk your QB's long-term health for a couple games in you know, his second year in November. It's not worth it. You can't. All right. With only a minute left in our tape, I think that'll wrap it up for this week, for the Week 9 Outlook and Week 8 Review for the Fantasy Edge. For Richard Seville, I'm Jonathan Chan. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you next week.